Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hold on. Hold on there. Let me partner thing here. I used this up in, I actually didn't use this in Montreal on my recent trip.
What is it?
But I have it right now, and it is a translating app.
Oh,
which is very,
it
very
Google
exciting.
Translate?
I don't know if it's Google Translate, but it's a translating app
that I love
I put
those.
On my phone.
Did
I like
Russia
them.
Make
and,
it?
And because I've got, as Carla tells me, because I got 6,000 apps on my phone, all willy-nilly in no particular order, I have trouble finding it. But the reason we're doing this is because we have a new feature on the Mike O'Mara Show we'd like to call English as a Second Language.
Oh, of Esau. Course.
Starring Woo! Our boy, Oscar Santana, who used the term oxymoron
yes.
today.
Yes.
Talking about, why don't you say, why don't
oh,
you use
you.
It
thank
the
you.
Way you used it
okay.
In your opening
Three,
sentence to
two,
us this morning.
Three, two, one. Guys, the yeah. lead piping at my house has been canceled. The work on replacing the lead piping has been canceled because of the rain. And I thought that was an oxymoron, not conflicting pronouns, but an oxymoron.
No.
No. I have the definition no. of an oxymoron in front of me.
So do I.
Okay.
You do what I do because you're fat and lazy and I'm fat oh. and lazy. But let me tell you, I've got
a little
deeper,
chubby.
Okay? It is a figure of speech in which two opposite ideas are joined to create an effect. Pony had the classic example
yes.
of it, jumbo shrimp.
Ooh, now it makes sense. Now
military intelligence.
I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't military intelligence, isn't that,
that's
I guess
tongue in
it's
cheek.
Subjective.
Well, it's tongue in cheek.
Jumbo shrimp makes sense. But if it's a large shrimp, would it just be, wouldn't that be considered jumbo
no,
shrimp?
An oxymoron.
No.
Oh. Act naturally.
That's a great one. That's
Thank
a great
you.
One.
It's not mine.
No, it's Buck
Owens.
Give
me another
theater.
One. Give me another one. I love alone
learning. Alone together.
Mm-hmm.
We're alone together for the first time.
Ooh, Pony gets
well,
a lot
if you're
of that.
Alone, you're alone. If you're together, you're together. Get it?
Pony, yeah, Pony looks like Miley and says, oh, man, we're alone together.
Again. It was amazingly awful.
That's a good one.
I love that one. That awful. Makes complete sense.
Bittersweet.
Ooh. Yes.
Bittersweet
tears.
Sometimes
hey,
they're
kids.
Sweet.
All right.
Couldn't you pull a better cartoon out?
I love that. I do love that.
Okay,
know.
So what would I use then if
I could pull a better cartoon out of my ear? Hey, whoa! Wasn't that great, kid?
Sorry.
In there. Couldn't there be?
I think what you had was an example of irony.
Onomatopoeia?
No, onomatopoeia is when something, the Damn. Name of something is its sound. Like a gurgle.
Ooh, or bang.
So yes, exactly.
Damn.
What's the, what is the term Boom. When you say F your iPhone for never helping you on the television show at all?
That's Apple. Show. That's just called Apple.
I cut
hey, Apple. I'm really looking carefully now. I'm going slowly. I'm breathing.
What
I've
about
got
Finder
my voice
and,
memos.
And hit translate?
No, I don't want to.
You don't want to use
find
Finder?
It my own way. Yeah,
It's just like when Chan says I'm an old man with a remote. Always nice when your wife of 8 years, she's young, 8 years younger than me, says, why are you going through the guide? Just to hit the voice button. I was like, I get it. She doesn't understand me half the time.
Yeah, when I'm at home, I'm usually trying to change the channel with the phone.
Mm.
That doesn't work either. But it does have a voice
I'm
feature.
Not, I know technology.
Deafening yeah. silence.
That's a good one.
Ooh. That's actually, that one's probably the sexiest of the ones we've brought up.
The one I hate is definitely maybe. That's that's just,
mm-hmm.
Everybody would hate that.
So it's ironic like Alanis Morissette is what I was saying.
But you see.
Farewell reception.
Do you
yeah,
have,
ironic. It's
yeah, do you
ironic.
Have ironic by Alanis
But I don't
Morissette,
understand.
Rob,
what, your lead pipes, are they on the outside ironic. Of your house?
Yes,
are they on the
outside,
outside
of
your
house.
House?
And are they bringing water into your house?
They're bringing water into
and
my house.
And they're lead pipes. This explains a lot.
And they've canceled the job twice.
You know what's a shame is that it hasn't really given him lockjaw.
Because of rain. And we have to pay for it. My neighbor and I are splitting the dollars. We have, our houses are so small, Mike.
How small are
How
they?
How small are they?
That we only have to hire one plumber to work on our house. to get the pipes into our house replaced that are lead.
Oh, I think rain with contractors is a chance to, you know, take a day.
Yes.
And, you know, God love them. They work awful hard. So who knows?
They don't get paid, though. Don't you want to get paid?
Is it raining down there today?
No.
Beautiful day.
We just had a scheduling email that says, looks like it's going to rain. Can't
you know where
in.
It's raining? It's raining on my iPhone where I'm looking for my, which would have been very funny if we'd like waited a while and then really, well, no, not here.
It's raining, man.
Here.com is like a hearing aid. Ah, hello.
Ooh.
There it is. All right. Let me see. I've got Translate.
This is a great song.
Great album.
Doesn't get enough respect. Jagged Little Pill. 1995 or 96.
95 is
95,
right. You nailed it.
95.
All right, let me see.
What do you know about this pony?
Let me see.
I was there.
You cry yourself
Why do I
to sleep
feel like
song?
We're doing two different shows today?
Oh, you're looking for an app.
I'm like doing it. Oh, because I'm looking for,
you're looking for an app.
Turn it off.
Okay, because lead poisoning is trying to keep the momentum going.
Yes.
All right.
Thank
here
you.
We go. All right.
We're back.
We're trying to do a show today and explain the English language to Oscar.
Intento hacer un programa hoy y explicar el idioma inglés a Oscar.
Pretty nice.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
See, automatically. You like that?
That's great, because mine doesn't speak. Mine don't speak.
She could have said Oscar with the affectation.
Hey, Oscar.
Yes.
We're just trying to tell you little intricacies of the English language so that you will be a better all-round citizen.
Hey, Oscar. Solo estamos tratando de decirte pequeñas complejidades del idioma inglés para que seas un ciudadano.
That's great.
I love.
Oh, sorry about. Let's try another.
Sounds
one.
Sounds like ice to me.
Oh, it's listening for both languages. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Does it go the other way? Donde está casa de Pepe?
Okay, let me see what's that. All right, here we go.
Tell her I need new pants.
Donde está casa de Pepe?
Donde está casa de Pepe?
Oh, you can't mind that for a mic.
No, it's only one way right now.
Outwitted her.
Outwitted her.
Right. Excuse me, miss. Can you tell me if these bumps on my penis are problematic and that I might have to go to the hospital?
God.
Disculpe, señorita. ¿Puede decirme si estos bultos en mi pene son problemáticos y si tengo que ir al hospital?
Would you ask another medical question?
Sure.
Can you not get grosser, please?
No, just
he's gonna. He has
don't
to.
Ruin this.
He has to.
Don't
one up.
Ruin this.
He can't come up with an original idea, so he has to one up.
Female interns in the other room. All right.
Rob Spiewak is the comedy pyramid. He is the comedy pyramid. All right. Go ahead.
Well, now I feel bad about what I was going to originally
just
say.
Just say it. It's all over. Right. Just say it.
I am a stranger in your country. Do you have something for a bad case of diarrhea?
All right. I am a stranger in your country. Do you have something for a bad case of diarrhea?
Soy un extraño en su país. ¿Tiene algo para un caso grave de diarrea?
Oh, your country says diarrhea.
Diarrhea
much better.
Sounds very serious.
It does.
De tu país de diarrea tanto mejor.
Diarrhea. Yeah. Hey, hold on. All right, here we go. Here's a good one. Will you make sure Dahlia doesn't get in a car with her silly friends and roll it into a ditch?
Perfect.
¿Te asegurarás de que Dahlia no se suba a un auto con sus amigas tontas y lo enrolle en una zanja?
Isn't this fun?
Oh, I love this. Yeah. Who
I'm
needs
sorry,
to learn a language?
So
that's right.
Use a phone.
No, really, I did that. Right? And I can just pop in any. I can pop in any language you want.
Oh, please!
I'm such an idiot, aren't I?
Technology.
German is the funniest language, Mike.
Well, Rob, you asked, and you shall.
Oh, I love
receive.
It.
Okay, hold on. Let's see. Here we go. And conversation.
I have a question.
Oh, you do have a German question.
I'd like not to be put into this truck by that heavy. Hairy armed woman.
Ich möchte nicht von dieser schweren, mit Harry bewaffneten Frau in diesen Truck gesetzt werden.
All right, hold on. Right, one more. Right.
Okay. I have one.
If I put this strudel between my butt cheeks, will I make a German panini?
Wenn ich diesen Strudel zwischen meine Arschbacken stecke, mache ich einen deutschen Panini.
All right, Oscar, what's yours?
Panini's in and out. Please tell my cab driver that this hole is exit only.
Okay.
Wow.
Please tell my cab driver that this hole is exit only.
Er sagt Greg, Taxifahrer, dass er nur aussteigen darf.
Yeah. Hey, wait,
Very
wait,
short.
Hold on.
And
let's do Italian.
Stern.
Let's do
Oh,
Italian.
Okay.
because Maddie's going to a tie. By the way, for all the emails that have come in saying we're idiots, yeah. I understand.
Yeah, we
I understand
we concur
how that works. But this is isn't this a great little app?
This is
wonderful. Mike, the phone. It can do anything.
Yeah, it also has a flashlight.
Uh-huh. What about Russian? Russian would be fantastic.
Oh, that's right. Collusion. Yeah.
Mm. All right, here we go. I'm ready now. I'm really eagerly awaiting the results from the testing to see if Polly Christine has a bowel obstruction.
Sto davvero aspettando con impazienza i risultati dei test per vedere se Holly Christine ha.
Holly Christine.
Delle istruzioni intestinali.
All right. I don't like Italian. I don't like Italian.
Italian makes me feel
I'm
guilty.
I'm talking any language.
Russian,
you want.
Russian, 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 yeah, Russian.
Oh, that's
Russian,
a tough Russian. One. That's a tough one.
Russian.
All right, hold on just a second. Going down here. There's a lot of them here. All right, you asked and you shall
Thank
receive.
You. Thank you.
I have a strange rash in my armpit, and I was wondering if you could send some vodka up to the room so that I can deal with the itching.
У меня странная сыпь в подмышке, и мне было интересно.
Не могли бы вы
отправить водку в комнату?
Why is the Russian voice like
it's still going? Oh. Sorry. It's a long language. I apologize.
The yes. Russian voice sounds like an abandoned infant.
It's very sad. Right? It's in a press culture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get a Russian
what's
something?
Yeah, what's a happy Russian option? Go ahead.
Is there a happy Russian? Because I wanted to say, my beet allergy has made my time in Stalingrad less than pleasant.
Okay. My beet allergy has made my time in Stalingrad less pleasant. Could you send the borscht back in some Tupperware containers, please?
Моя аллергия на удары сделала мое время менее приятным. И Сталинград, пожалуйста. Не могли бы вы отослать их обратно в некоторые контейнеры Tupperware?
No, so borscht doesn't
Mike,
sound like
it's
borscht.
So sad. It sounds like we just sent her to swim in Chernobyl.
For the Olympics. And let's just do this correct. It's right around the corner, right? Tokyo.
Right.
Listen to the Mike O'Mara show for all your Olympic coverage.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wouldn't be doing our job as broadcasters if we didn't go to Asia.
Yes.
And yes. Get some of the Far East, Mike.
You have obviously the standard Chinese, but I've always been a fan of the Korean language.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Based on the North Korean. So let's give this a try right now. Okay, hold on. And
this is great.
I hope it sounds like that newscaster.
I'm noticing that Kim Jong-un seems to be getting fatter when he's inspecting his giant submarines.
나는 김정은이 거대한 잠수함을 조사할 때 뚱뚱해지는 것처럼 보였다.
Hmm.
All right, hold on. This is a better idea.
Okay.
Hey, shot in the dark.
Please,
I heard they
please,
monitor
we gotta
everything.
Try, we gotta try.
Shot in the dark. I heard
try.
They monitor. All right. All right. We would be willing to be a mouthpiece for the North Korean government if they could find their way to send some dollars to the Mike O'Mara show. If they could send us $2 million, we would say nice things about the North Koreans
each.
Every single day. Yes,
each.
$2
million
each, please.
Yes.
우리는 북한 정부에 대한 대변자가 될 것입니다. 그들이 100만 달러로 우리를 보낼 수 있다면 마이크 오메라 쇼에 돈을 보낼 수 있는 방법을 찾으면 우리는 북한 사람들에 대해 매일 좋은 일들을 말할 것입니다.
Okay.
네. 각이 100만 달러 주세요.
It's a caveat. That was a caveat.
There was one thing in there I really love. Could you just have him translate the Mike O'Mara show?
I got a better idea.
Okay.
Watch this.
Okay.
Here we go. Okay, here we go. Pepsi, McDonald's, Burger King.
Pepsi, McDonald's, Burger King.
Ooh, Burger King sounds classy.
Yeah. Any other, an American say, oh, hold on. Sorry. All right. To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. We're loving it at McDonald's.
두 마리의 쇠고기 패티 참깨 씨앗을 올빵에 참깨 장면에 대한 특별 소스 양상추 치즈 절임 양파 우리는 맥도날드에서 그것을 사랑하고 있습니다.
Seems backwards.
That was sing-songy still.
Yeah, I liked it, though.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Just one more. Just one more. And this really is for what? Go ahead.
Well, the warehouse tomato.
The Shopper's Food Warehouse tomato?
That'll be silly. But not like this whole thing hasn't been.
That will be silly.
God bless America. land that I love.
하나님은 미국을 축복.
Oh, I don't trust that.
That was hostile.
I don't trust
that.
Hostile. There's going to be someone coming to your door after
hostile
singing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember, ladies and gentlemen, fun with languages on the Mike O'Mara Show. Next time, check in and see what we can do. But that's fun. That's my
multicultural
translation.
That doesn't have pig Latin, does it? Just for a goof?
All right, let me look. Hold on a second.
No way.
It might.
There's no way.
It might have Latin. It might have Latin.
Julia took Latin. She found
it
useless.
She didn't take pig Latin.
No, Robert will take pig Latin.
Let's see if they got Latin. Scoot by with a C. Is there a possibility that they would have Latin on here?
I would think so.
Yes,
they
sure
have, they what's have
the,
Latin.
Isn't it the original of the...
They have Latin. This is exciting.
Your modern day language, the root of it?
It is the grandfather of all the Romance languages.
That's what it is, Romance. Mm-hmm.
Why does it say Latin? Voice translation isn't available for this language.
Damn!
I guess it's more of a written language than a spoken language.
Yeah. Let's see about
root
Arabic,
words.
Let's see
a lot of the spelling bee kids pass out the Latin words.
Patriarch.
Yes.
The word that, sorry.
I'm wondering if you can show me where I left my Jeep. I seem to have lost it in the desert next to your shiny new town.
أنا أتساءل عما إذا كان يمكنك أن تريني أين تركت سيارتي جيبي. يبدو أني فقدتها في الصحراء المجاورة.
Okay. Wow, pipe enough down, that's lady.
Here's the next one. Okay, now remember, here's a qualifier.
Okay.
I am not Islamophobic. I'm not. This is for the purposes of
Love
comedy.
All.
Illustration,
okay?
Yes.
So let's, because I want to see if it translates. God is great.
Allah Akbar.
Okay.
Allah. Allah. Yeah.
Death to the infidels.
Oh, well, that's a little extreme.
Okay.
Let's not go crazy.
Just a second. Let me see. President Assad is a hemorrhoid. Okay, it's fun with language on the Mike O'Mara
Show. Did you try a pop culture one for that one?
Did you find that the bit would have worked better if there was a little better pacing on the translations?
Also,
you know,
it
just
seems
a
like they
bit
have too many words for what we're saying. Right?
You know, it really does seem like
and
that.
And they were
it
taking pauses,
well,
where we
a,
didn't
it's
pause.
It's a different language.
Well, I think they better hop on the America train because English is where it's at.
Too many pauses.
You're such a mouth.
Says that. By the way, it makes you want to travel anywhere in the world and not be scared about the language barrier.
Exactly. That
you
and ways
you're
unstoppable.
That. And now, because I don't need a computer to translate, Rob Spiewak, say a simple sentence, and I will translate it into pig Latin. Let's do it.
All right. I will have a ham sandwich with spicy mustard.
I a ill way, av hay, a am hay, and which say, ith way, icy spay, ustard may.
Wow.
Thank you.
Mike,
thank
you're ready
you
for your trip to Pennsylvania.
You want to try it the other way? You want to try it the other way? Here we go.
Okay,
the
go reverse ahead. Go ahead.
All right. I'm looking forward to my golf tournament.
I a m a ooking lay orward fe ute I may olf gay tournament day.
Oh
Oscar,
my God!
Your turn now. Want to give one to Oscar?
Please,
I'll give one
please,
to
please
Oscar. Okay.
This will be good.
I'm waiting for the plumbers to arrive, but they're not here yet.
Estoy esperando para el plumero que llegue aquí, pero no están aquí todavía.
To be fair, that was pig Spanish.
This show is fantastic. You're not getting this show. You don't listen to this show. You're just out in the cold.
You are.
You're out in the cold. I mean, this is, to me, this
old
is
K
fantastic.
You're in the old K.
This is fantastic. I was telling my neighbor last night, he was talking about how one of the local stations up here, they contest a lot. And man, oh man, did that just tweak me to remember the great old days
power
of radio.
Porsche.
And remember what they, Power Porsche. A plane load of listeners going to Texas. This is back way back in the morning show days. Listeners, maybe 100 of them, taking them over to London.
I think
to
if
go
I remember,
Prince's Trust.
If I remember, it was 105.
105
you were on,
listeners because it was
on 105.1. Yeah, yeah.
And you think about that. Then when did the would it be the 90s that the transition sort of happened with cheaper
Elliot
radio
Spitzer
stations?
Came around and said no more payola through marketing companies. You
well,
guys are
there's,
cooked.
There's that, and also I blame MTV when they started to do MTV blocks. I think that might have been the summer of '90. It really segmented radio, and that signaled the death of Top 40, and that was segmented
Downtown
stations.
Julie Brown.
Exactly, the segmenting of stations
it
made it weird. Mike, I
Dan
have a question.
Cortez.
Probably your least favorite. I would guess it was probably your least favorite promotion. But it was the most intriguing as a listener. Were you a part of the Power Train to Nowhere?
Yeah.
Oh, I love the
Power
story.
Train to Nowhere.
This
still was getting a train, Rob. It was
I know.
Still stuff.
That's an amazing, but I'm saying that as a DJ that had to be on a train with that many listeners, it probably sucked. But as far as imaging the station, It's, here's the deal.
He probably liked people back then.
Back no, but then, it was yeah. still
bigger than life.
It renting was an entire yeah. cruise ship like the Dandy mm-hmm. or whatever and being out there for listeners. Also one of the worst hangovers I've ever had with a listener promotion. I was just, you know, and that was really me on a boat, man, floating on the Potomac River, walking around going, thank you.
Oh,
for
so you listening. Were hungover before thank the broadcast?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I still absolutely. Think they had great contesting. I'll give you an example. For Corona, I remember the afternoon jocks, all of them across the market and really across the country, they would all go down to Cancun and broadcast live for a week. When I was,
they would send disc jockeys.
Yes.
That didn't change because right. the disc jockeys are two people or four people part of a morning show. They'll send them down to promote a location yes. for
and
a
the DJs
beer.
Are controllable too.
Yeah, we went to the islands a couple of times ooh. To promote different things. Like, this is how old I am.
Not Solomon's Island. Yeah,
back in the day when we were promoting Piedmont Airlines, we were promoting, technically, if you really think about it, we were promoting an airline that now airlines retro paint their planes that airline.
Yes.
So when you see an airline paint, oh, remember
full
that
circle.
Day? Remember the
remember when you and 100 listeners went to Siam?
Oh, it was fantastic. Remember we all hopped on Lindbergh's plane and made it across the Atlantic? Everybody was so excited.
The power trip to Rhodesia.
But this guy, you know, we're talking about, we're going back and forth. I'm telling him all about the promotions. He said, well, the station I'm listening to, you know what it does. You know, if you call in at 7 o'clock, you get coupons for 5 free subs. And I looked him in the eye and I went, oh, that's fascinating. My life. There you go. Thank you. Start the show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I think you're upset. I'm going to leave my material here. We'll talk later. You've got more important things to worry about. We'll just take a stroll around, wait till lunchtime.
Did anyone ever tell you you're a moron?
You know, Jerry, I want to tell you something. Ordinarily, I wouldn't allow anybody to speak that way about Rita. But since it's you, I know you're only kidding. He's a real character.
Rupert, he's saying he wants us to go.
No, he's not saying that.
Call the station, John.
Where are you going? Yeah. Rita?
Yes, look, there'll be a cab here in 5 or 10 minutes. I'd appreciate it if you'd wait at the gate and use it.
Why, are you going someplace?
No, you are. I want you out of here now. Is that plain enough?
I understand.
Is that clear?
Yeah, Jerry, I understand.
Let's go.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lightfoot.
Here you are.
Jerry, can
you understand English? Take your things
all
and
right,
go.
All right, I can take a hint, Jerry. I just want to ask you to listen to my stuff for 15 minutes. That's all. Is that asking too much?
Yes, it is. I have a life, okay?
Well, I have a life, too.
That's not my responsibility.
Well, it is when you tell me to call you and then you don't...
I told you to call to get rid of you.
To get rid of me?
That's right.
Okay. All right, I can take a hint.
If I didn't tell you that, we'd still be standing on the steps at my apartment.
Yeah, all right, so I made a mistake.
So did Hitler.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his settee, here's Mike.
What a weekend. What a week.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. I don't know where to start. I do not know where to start.
Well, we left you at the birthday.
Yeah, birthday.
All right, it was fine. The birthday party was great. Rob Spiewak, thank you for that robot. It was a big hit.
Good.
The party was a wonderful small happy gathering birthday. With just the next door neighbors, my buddy Zach, and my brother-in-law happy and my sister. It was really terrific. It was small, and I just get such a kick out of being... not only welcoming, but accepted by the local folks up here, because that means more to me. It really does. It's just, and you know, they're youngsters, and I like them, and they come by, and it was just super fun. And one of the things that came up was I'd had an adult beverage, and I said to my next-door neighbor, Seb, I said, you know what? Michael has requested for his birthday that you burn rubber out in front of the house again with that
which
fast
Michael?
Little that fast little early model Camaro that you happen
to have
acquired. You know,
what would be a good birthday present for a boy. Well, come here.
Really
come
here.
I'm 60 years old. And I still am a. I'm still a child.
That's fine.
I am still a
six
child,
or 60. Just, everybody likes it.
It's fine. And so. They came by. They had another thing to do, so the neighbors came by. They didn't have their little one, but they had a couple's night out because their daughter was staying with his mother. So they just dropped by very quickly, and it was nice to see them. And he's just he's a fun guy. He's just a fun guy in his 20s and just likes life. And so we go back inside the house, and I think we're eating. We're starting to eat dinner. Michael's birthday dinner out in front of you. And this white Camaro,
so funny,
1990 whatever or 1980s. This is an old car,
right?
And but it's got a lively engine, and he's doing lively circles. He's
doing great. Doing, do you have full donut circles on the street?
Well, they're SCs, they're Seb circles. Okay. My next door neighbor, sorry. Seb. And then the move is like 1, 2, 3, and then he tears down the road. Yeah, dangerous, yes. I'm sorry.
Well, okay? It takes skill as well. You, full control.
It takes some skill, yes.
Three donuts,
yes,
and then you're out. Pretty cool.
Tremendous control.
Yeah. I'd love to
see
that.
And the best is when he comes back and you hear the car just going, the car goes back into the driveway.
Do the idling sound again.
He does it so well.
That's great.
It's so true.
It's like, I'll do the whole sound.
Okay, great.
I can't do the screeching, but it's like, and it comes back like that. It was big fun.
So
And Michael was a earlier in the day, Michael and I went out and we went fishing together.
He went fishing with Mike.
Went fishing with Mike, just Michael and I on the boat.
And there was
alone,
a bit of hesitation going into it, I recall.
Yeah, because it's a 6-year-old on a boat, and you just like extra hands. So I asked Carla, and she said, "Now." So she didn't come along. And,
what'd she say?
But she, "Now."
Now.
But she dropped him off. She dropped him off on the dock, and then we went out, and then I said, "Okay, 1 hour. Tops, we're going to be out there half an hour with this age. It's going to be tops. Sure. We're going to be out." We ended up going out, and of course, because Mike's on the boat, beautiful, flat, kind of a little minor wind, nothing to speak of. Nice little waves out on the bay. And of course, when I get on the boat, this is my own paranoia right here, and this is my own self-importance. Nature says, "All right, he's on the boat. Yeah, he's on the boat. Okay, kick it up. Kick the wind up now." Yeah. And by the time we got out there, the wind had kicked up, and we went from flat calm to 3-foot rollers.
They were
pretty significant. So, ooh. I take him out behind this little island, and we're just drifting, and he's enjoying the day. He's using the island as a barrier.
You're not dealing with those 3-foot rollers.
And no problem on the other side of the island. And it was just Daddy and Michael time.
What are you guys talking
about?
Two of
us chatting. We're talking about how I was telling him all about the island, this island that's right off the coast down here. I probably gave you guys the same speech where they used to raise sheep on the island. They actually had a sheep herder that lived out there, and they got wool on the island. And we'd go over when I was a little kid, and we'd go onto the island, and we'd look for sheep. It was fantastic. And you'd find them because it's a teeny tiny little island.
And you'd kill them and eat them.
And then we'd slaughter them and we'd eat them live. We'd eat their beef. And then we'd rip them open and take their beating hearts out and just go, "Bye, you never." No, it was
like
it was
in Temple of Doom.
Yes. Here it is. Hold beating heart here. So he was curious about all that. And then he liked the bouncing waves.
Yeah.
And so it's about not an hour, but it's about 50 minutes. And I call Carla. And of course, she's in town. Because that's the way she rolls. She's in town, and and so I did my crime of the day was, "Oh, Carla, oh boy." So we sat and tied the boat up and waited for the waves, and then I had to go put the boat on the mooring, which means you take the boat from the dock. And for people that don't boat like this, you probably have never heard about this, but I'll tell you what it is. You have a mooring out in the harbor, and you have to take your boat out there and get a little dinghy to row. So it's two boats. You have to row in. Right. That's the way you do it up here. And this, the bow of the boat was just going,
took me
3 times. It never takes me 3 times. It took me 3 times to what we call shoot the mooring, which means you've got to grab the rope and tie your boat up. And it was hard to do. And then, and it was fine. It was fine.
You land any fish? Land any mackerel?
No fish at all. Not even a bite. Not even a little. Little bitty bite that continues my win streak, but it didn't matter because the little guy and I were having a fantastic time, a really, really great time. And before his birthday, no presents in the morning, no presents at noon, presents not until the evening. And
good policy.
It was fun. And he was just happy. And at one point, he was a little sad that there weren't any little kids around. I said, well, you know what? We're going to have your half birthday when we have the kids over and all your friends are there. A lot of people that go away in the summertime maybe have a little, because it's his school friends and all his pal Donnie
understandable.
And all the other kids. And, you know, that's just
Do you do your half birthday?
He'll be dunking on Donnie by the time it's his half birthday.
No, I don't do my half birthday. I don't want to get half of nothing. Anyway, so getting back to it. Exactly. Can't divide nothing in two.
Mike, the Corvette will be out shortly.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
Yellow.
So here's the thing.
Yellow.
I bought him one of the things that I was the most excited about that I purchased for him was called the Ginormous Rocket. And here's what it was. It was water and an air pump. There's no fuel. There's nothing dangerous. Nothing that can actually explode.
I guess what it was. I know exactly what you're talking about.
The Ginormous Rocket.
Yes.
The Ginormous Rocket. And so I'm really, really excited about it. And then when I finally take a good hard look at it after it got delivered, I see 7 feet of rocket. And I'm not sure that how it's going to work.
It's 7 feet of rocket, right?
It's a blow up rocket.
Yeah. Still, so, that's huge.
Yeah. But you realize that right away when I'm like, I'm such an idiot. I don't read instructions. I don't even read the outside of the box. And I open this thing up and I go, oh, the pieces aren't all here because this can't be 7 feet. And then I realize it's a coiled up raft, really, that you just blow up with a. And so that's. And by the way, the instructions so vague and unclear.
Of course,
that because it's a cheap toy, and everything's loose in there.
Their video
around.
On Facebook, it looks cool though.
It did launch, and I'm not going to be a spoiler. It did launch, but the whole thing is the instructions are. I hate bad instructions that are unclear.
Do you feel perhaps they might have originated in another language?
There's an outside shot, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
All I know is this thing is a blow-up, like you'd have a raft in a pool, like for a kid, right? And it expands to 7 feet, and then it has a very, very cheap, like hard styrofoam base.
Okay.
That's what it is. And then you have to slide the little wings on the side, the little flaps. For guidance.
Almost like rudders.
Like rudders on the side. And that goes, that's like a 3 or 4 process because it's so cheap and flimsy and not well made.
Propelled by water, if I'm not mistaken.
And you put water in a little tank and then you pressurize the water.
Mm.
And the water, I guess, is the propellant. I'm not a rocket scientist.
So
to
speak.
My son knew more
about
it.
Mike, you had your own launch.
Yeah.
I had my own launch. But I go out and then they have a little cheap plastic stake that you put in the inside leg to stabilize it. Would have been better with two. Would have worked better with two, but God forbid you put two in the cheapest toy in the world. And so I put the water in, and then I pump the thing up. By this time, Carla and Michael are there, and so are the horse flies, which is wonderful up here. The deer flies. The deer flies are up here in Maine, and they're fun, too. Crunch, crunch, crunch. I hate that. And so I'm pumping the thing up, and then I said, and then it's got a squeeze bulb. I mean, come on. How many different items can be included with it? It's got a little squeeze bulb. And so I squeeze the squeeze bulb, and you hear the rocket go, and nothing happens. And then nothing happens. And then Carla says, you're not seating it right. I said, yes, I am. I am seating it right. It's down there. Let me try it. Let me try it. And then Carla says, you're going to hear a click. And I'm leaning on it to seat it down in this thing. And she goes, harder. You got to put more pressure. I said, can't put much more pressure on it. This thing is,
it'll
this
break.
Thing is clumsy. Yeah. This is funny. Ah. And at one point, bad erection, the whole tube of the thing bends, where it just does that. See, I'm putting too much pressure on it. And so click, it finally seats. And I pump the thing up and we got 3 or 4 shots out of it. We got 3 or 4. And
how
the first one was pretty high. Pretty high. Yeah. The best one was
pretty high.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. Best one, it went up, but it was angled the wrong way, so it went up over the pine trees and into my next-door neighbor's yard.
Wow.
Like a bad erection.
Yes.
Like a bad erection.
The worst erection, Mike.
And so, yes, it was great. But then, then I'm trying to get the thing back in. Click, click. I go, and it was fine, but later in the day, Carla informed me that the base that's made out of hard styrofoam, which is, same thing you get at one of those cheap coolers, right?
Yeah.
It split open. So it's like, well, yeah. After four rocket launches, man. You know, and that's why cheap is cheap. Ginormous ripoff is more like what it would be. But he didn't care. He moved on to other toys, so he was
good.
He was happy.
The best of O'Mara.
On the heels of the debate last night, lots of minds were changed. We saw some people come to the forefront, and maybe some people take a few steps back. But one person I want to talk to while we have the chance, ladies and gentlemen, Republican hopeful, Dr. Ben Carson.
Is there a chance that you would like to redo my intro just a little bit, make it a little clearer and easier to understand without the stammering?
You didn't like it?
Yes, I'd like. Could I hear that, please? Just
sure.
One little. Just give me another proper intro.
Okay, do you want to step out or do you want to stay here?
Yes, I'll be right back. Thank you so much. Right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
On the heels of last night's GOP debate 2.0, some people advanced, some people stepped back. And here's a guy I want to talk to about those issues, Dr. Ben Carson.
Do you think there's a chance before we start this, I could get a glass of water?
Okay, do you want to step out? Okay.
I'll be right back.
Okay, he's going to get a glass of water. You know, one of the worst things, and it looked hot at the Reagan Library last night. A lot of sweaty candidates. You want to stay hydrated. Rubio even made a joke about it. Here he is, BC.
Recently, of course, I just flew in from the West Coast. I did not find the proper bathroom facilities. Is there a chance that I could just go out briefly and take care of business?
This is a brief interview. He's going to do it anyway. All right. Well,
three-hour debate last night.
It was a long debate, and I imagine after that, right to bed, and then on a plane to come see us here.
Busy man.
Oh, there he is, DBC.
I'm ready now,
ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Ben Carson, do you have an opening statement, doctor?
No, I do not. I would like to say that it is a thrill to be here on your show, and I am a very big fan of new media.
What is your favorite aspect of the Mike O'Mara show?
I'm a fan of the audio vault.
Hey, that's terrific.
Yeah,
that's good.
It really moves.
All right.
Really sings.
I
would like, before we get started, if I could share with you some of my policy positions.
Oh, I'd like that. You didn't have a lot of chance to share them last night.
Well, I didn't feel that I got my opportunity due to the fact there were so many people on the stage. They didn't really allow me to get my my points out, and what I wanted to do was make sure that I got my policy statements out. So here are the most controversial that will hopefully get me the same kind of attention that Mr. Trump has gotten. But I'm a non-confrontational person.
I understand.
I'm not going to pander to a base of supporters who would be intrigued by an altercation with another candidate.
Before we get into your platform, I have a question. Were you upset by the apparent lack of organization last night? The debate was all over the place.
The debate was, by its very nature, the debate forum with that many candidates on the stage. I wish I could talk without closing my eyes.
Well, open your eyes.
It makes it very difficult to see where the microphone is.
We paid all that money for Skype, so let's have you see me.
Can I answer your question?
Please.
By its very nature, the debate format is a cause for pandemonium.
Wow.
You have...
What are
Excuse
you doing?
Me.
Hey, doctor. Doc, yes. What are you doing, with your hands?
I'm doing the Lewis Black fingers for some reason with this impression.
It's great for a surgeon to shake.
You have a number. I am a neurosurgeon.
Yes. Well, we're tired.
Dancing little fingers over the parts of the brain that control the nerves.
Yes, yes. You're retired.
Getting back to what?
You're retired, though, right?
Yes. Getting back to my original point, the nature of the debate forum that we engaged in last night is cause for chaos and pandemonium, and unfortunately there is no clear understanding of who wins and who loses due to the fact that so many people are going at one another and trying to make sound bites as opposed to coherent policy decisions.
How did that make you feel?
Bad.
All right, now back to
coin a phrase from my opponent. Very funny. Very funny. Miserable.
A
deep
guy.
Sense of... I'm much more articulate and intelligent, so let me answer that without being flip. I know you'd like to hear that.
Yes.
So let me answer that properly.
Can we get to it?
Let's see how we can get... How did the debate make me feel?
Yes.
Filled with a deep sense of dread.
During the debate, you were filled with dread?
Dread, yes. The fact that who are these clowns that are up on this stage with me? Why are we here? What are we really accomplishing? What can possibly happen? Where is the future of the earth? How is God going to respond to this type of thing? All sorts of feelings, emotions. I was a sea of emotional activity that I did not share because, of course, that would show weakness, and we don't want to show weakness on the stage.
That was a good answer, not great.
Thank you.
Were to boil it down, yes. How did the debate make you feel?
But if I may, I would like to say that a friend of mine said to me, Ben, you're a brilliant neurosurgeon. You have an incredible life story. Why can't you be more confrontational with people like Trump, who is a bloviating blowhard of a man who does not have the intellectual credentials that you bring to the table? So he has instructed me on how to be more confrontational and perhaps get the sound bites that will make it into the morning news cycle, which I think inevitably will boost my campaign and give me the opportunity to probably pursue this political track, which I have been on for quite some time. So if, with your kind permission, you would allow me to express myself in terms that are more confrontational, I would certainly appreciate that opportunity on this fine show, in this fine forum on the internet.
Okay, you're done now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Dr. Ben Carson, what is your first confrontational soundbite radio ready for Friday morning?
Well, look at these people I'm against. They're losers.
That was good.
Don't interrupt me. I'm trying.
Okay. Yes, you are.
Look at the people on this stage. They're losers. And I say that with a capital L.
Boom.
All over the press.
I don't think any of these people look like they could be president. Look at their ugly faces that they have on their faces.
Gently drops Mike.
Thank you very much. The people on this panel could never be president. They're drug addicts. They're rapists.
What? No. They can't. You can't say that.
Extreme.
Really? Yeah, it's too
I
much.
Can say that. Yeah, you can say that. Fat boy.
Hey.
Okay, what do you think of that?
Knock it off. I'm not even running.
Oh, you're not running.
But no,
speaking of running, unfortunately, the shrimp that was served in the green room prior to the debate has run through me quite nicely.
Oh, no.
And I will have to step out for just if you don't mind. I will be back as soon as...
He's got to go, but he hasn't hit the bathroom yet, Oscar.
I see.
He'll be back in a second.
Dr. Ben Carson.
He's in such great health being a doctor. His visits to the bathroom are mercifully brief. Here he is, DBC. Did you wash your hands, Doc?
I have a... scoop for you if you'd like to hear
a scoop.
It.
Oh, yeah, like I would like scoop? To hear that.
Okay, scoops are good. Scoops are good. This scoop.
What about scoops?
Scoops are good. The scoop that I have for you is every member of the panel last night has contracted the norovirus.
That is a hell of a scoop.
Unfortunately, the prior debate carrier who was on the stage, unfortunately, Senator Rick Santorum contracted the virus and put his hands on every single podium before the debate began to see which one he wanted, being the spoiled child that he is.
Right.
So we are all, unfortunately, enjoying bouts of severe nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea, and we probably will for the next 24 hours. I know this because I'm a physician.
Dr. Ben Carson, I had a question. I apologize for interrupting, but did you notice the unusually large ears on Senator Rubio?
Yes, I have that. Hold on. I've got one for that.
Please.
Hold on just a second.
Do you actually have digs at each candidate?
Yes, I do.
That's,
okay,
you know
here
what?
We go.
That
here it is right
sound
here.
Bite. Yeah.
Oh, and how about Marco Rubio? He looks like a cab coming down the street with both doors open. Thanks. I'm here all week.
Any thoughts on Chris Christie?
Yes. Hold on. I've got a Chris Christie one here.
You know, he should switch to note cards and be quieter.
Well, I'm really glad we could all be here in Simi Valley at the Reagan Library and get this debate underway before Chris Christie eats the entire building.
He went there.
Hey, where were these last night?
I had them in my valise on the bus.
You left them on the bus?
Yes. They were next to my medical bag.
Your old-fashioned medical bag?
My old-fashioned medical bag. It's vintage. I still use some of the syringes, but I don't use the saw.
Oh, that's good. Do you still use glass IV bottles?
I don't use glass IV bottles, but look at, I found all of them right now.
Oh, do you have anything for Mike Huckabee?
Do I ever?
This will be good. I like it. Huck Mikeabee. Yeah. He looked good last night.
Well, Mike Huckabee claims to be a man of God.
That's it?
If that's the case, why did God give him those four chins?
Oh, God. Really low. Yes.
They don't all zing.
No, some of them are thinking man's jokes.
Yes, thinking man's.
You'll get them on the way home.
Yeah. What about that piece of ass up there, Carly Fiorina?
Mm. Okay, this is my best because I thought that she'd do well, and she did. She did. She did very well. So I was planning on that. I actually.
You planned on that?
She did. She did well. And so I was counting on that, and I thought, boy, we better have a really, really big zinger for her. So yeah. Here goes, okay?
Okay, all right.
What does Carly Fiorina say after sex?
Oh, what?
What?
Do you guys play for the whole team?
The best of O'Mara.
Rob Spiewak.
Yes.
You mentioned before the show that you were having a bit of a situation with child number two.
Yes.
Is that correct?
My namesake, the third generation, Robert Wadham Spiewak. I get a message from Carrie via text yesterday that Robert has hurt his foot and they're going to the doctor.
Hmm.
She's very vague. I said, what happened? She said, might be fractured playing basketball. I said, okay, please keep me informed. So they go to the doctor and... they did not x-ray because of the preliminary examination is that it could just be a sprain. It could just be a bad bruise. So they're going to wait 2 days. If the pain persists, then they'll proceed with x-rays and seeing what's up. So he comes home.
Can I ask that now? Now, it's your doctor, and I know how to. Was that frustrating to you at all?
To me,
to at least put to bed. Well, if he has a fracture, why would they let him hobble around on it for a couple of days where you could do more damage?
They did put it in a boot and wrapped it up, and so it is protected right now, and he's on crutches.
Okay.
So I mean, I tend to perhaps blindly sometimes I'll take doctor's advice, but you know what, Robert's had a long history with doctors and I've had really good luck with listening to them, so that's what we did.
Good for you.
And so he gets home and he's cranky because it hurts and he's on crutches and he was playing
what
basketball.
What did he do? Did he come down hard?
Down wrong and hard, and actually he had to be helped to. He was playing an away game, if you will. He was over at Barrett's house, so he actually had to drive home. Luckily, it was his left foot. He was able to drive. And I said, so, God, Carrie, what happened?
So weird to hear that, though. He's got to drive home.
I know.
It's just like I remember when he was little. Like a baby.
I remember when you visited when he was born in the hospital.
I know. I know.
It's and it seems weird. Like about 20 minutes
home,
ago.
Your son? Yeah, that kid driving home?
Oh, yeah.
Driving home with a broken foot.
Here's the best, probably the only plus that comes out of this story, because he's being checked up. They do his weight and everything.
Right.
He is now doctor measured 6'3" tall.
Wow.
Jeez Louise.
Wow.
More than an inch taller than his old man. And that makes...
Good.
I am not a small guy, and when I'm with someone that's taller than me, and a good example of this is Todd Moore.
Mm-hmm.
When I see like a photograph of me next to Todd, it looks like there's been something has changed with the perspective because I'm not used to being significantly shorter than someone. And Robert is now not towering, not yet, but he is taller than me.
And he's a good-looking kid too.
Yes, he is.
And he plays sports.
He does. And sometimes,
so, I mean, there are a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, he's he's not the
phrase you're looking for.
The apple
is,
has fallen far.
No, no. The phrase you're looking for is carbon copy. Actually,
so,
he tends to take after my. He takes after my dad quite a bit. My dad's a little taller than me. My dad's a real good-looking guy. My dad played sports, so I mean, there's some of that going on.
Okay.
Skipped a generation, like baldness. So I said to Carrie, what exactly happened? He said, well, he's at Barrett's house, and he came down, and his foot turned. And I said...
So it was kind of a side injury where he kind of turned the ankle.
He said, maybe it had something to do with his shoes. I said, why? He said, he was playing basketball in Crocs.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Okay. Your daughter is very, very smart.
He's so strong.
He's so strong.
Rocks.
So when he came out,
playing basketball, you better to kick him off and play him bare feet.
So great is by the time they're at the doctor's, and Gary says, "Were you playing basketball in those yellow Crocs?" He says, "Yeah, but I had the safety strap on."
I had a fight with my son because my son's a Floridian and loves his Crocs.
Yeah.
And wanted to go on the boat. So you're not going on a boat with Crocs.
Right.
And I like it. I said, you're not going on a boat with Crocs. Crocs are great if you're, that perv Mario Batali in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And you're not going to move fast.
Well,
but
you
if
can
you're
also
doing
you
anything
can...
that you require stability in your feet, you Traction. Cannot wear Crocs.
So, yeah, that's what I blame is the Crocs for that. So they wrapped him up in the boot, and he's on crutches, and he is cranky. Mm. And he comes home, and he says, Dad, he yells down the steps because I'm in the basement. He's on the main floor. Dad, can you help me? I said, yeah. And I hear...
coming down the stairs
with the crutches, and
so he's got crutches. So he's hurting.
He's hurting real bad. He's on a lot of Advil, and he hobbles in, and he says, "Doctor put this boot on me and left my sock on. I want to take my sock off." I said, "Okay, we can do that." So he sits down at my desk chair, and I have to sit in front of him like a shoe salesman, and. holding the foot, and there's three, not like the ACE bandages like when we were kids that were like, 4 feet long, 3 inches wide.
Yeah.
This is like a roll of wrapping paper with Velcro on each side. They're wide. They're like 8 inches, and I'm looking
Better technology.
Yeah, but I'm looking at it because it's so beautifully wrapped.
Oh, you don't want to mess with that.
And I don't, and I'm thinking, could I cut it off? Could I cut the sock off?
Where does it itch?
By the way, did the doctor leave the sock on by design?
No, I think it was just carelessness. And why is he wearing socks with Crocs anyway? This kid's a moron. Anyway.
Because it's a sexy look. Crocs with socks?
What are you,
he's wearing, what are you, the hell's wrong with him? He's wearing Crocs with socks. Do you like those Crocs with socks?
Did you fracture your heel?
I wore my Crocs with socks. I wore them when I got chicken pox. I do like my Crocs with socks. The boat is going to the dock.
Have a meal and that's your heel. So I'm trying, as I start to undo
nice
it,
look.
I'm making a mental note because I've got to put the thing back on,
yeah,
right?
People go to school to figure out how to wrap an ankle.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so... I do this, and the Velcro is a wide swath of Velcro, the 8-inch width of this huge ACE bandage. So every time it flops down, it reattaches.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's really like a game that a game show that you would do on ABC television.
At
late
any
at night.
Point, did you look at it and say, "No,
you
got
to keep the sock on.
You
got to
keep this
gonna...
on."
I had the thought, but you know what? He's still my kid, and he wants it off. So you know what? You're a slave to your kid. So
Dad, I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, Dad, this ice isn't cold enough.
I'm not a doctor. You got to wait till we see the doctor.
So I undo it, take off it's got that form-fitting boot, mm-hmm. take that off, get the sock off, put it back on, and I start to wrap it again, and the hard part—
When you took it off, by the way, can I just ask?
Sure.
Because he is a growing boy.
Yes.
When you removed all of that layering, was there?
No.
That was the bouquet.
No appreciable odor, but keep in mind, it's only been on for about an hour.
All right.
I'm saying that maybe if he has a change of the bandage in a day or so, Mrs. Spiewak can handle that.
Okay. No problem.
So I start and I get to the hardest part, and I was really watching this when I'm unwrapping it, is the 45-degree turn where you have to go from the ankle to the foot and then back around. So I'm really trying to get this right. And then, the
After
Velcro.
After you took the sock off?
Yeah. And then, the Velcro's catching on everything, and there's three lengths of bandages, and they're all sticking together. And I'm just about finishing the second of the three, and I said, "How is it?" He says, "I don't know, a little tight."
Oh,
like you were overdoing it.
I said,
"Look down at his blue toes."
I said, "A little tight, like tight, good, or a little tight, like we need to start over." He says, "We might want to start over." I said, "You sure? You sure you can't go with this?" He says, "Dad, I really can't." So I have to undo it again, and then and undoing it is not any easier than doing it because it's getting. So we finally get it all done. And
by the way, they assume at the doctor that he did not break it.
That's their
why
assumption.
They're doing it
that's
they
their
assume
assumption.
That it's
yeah,
not necessary.
And they think he'll be a lot better in about 2 days. And so I finally get him, and he hobbles away. And I said, "Pony, I'll apologize in advance." I said, "How you doing with the crutches?" He says, "I hate the crutches." I said, "You can say it." He says, "I hate the f***ing crutches."
You see, so So he can't work at the deli
That's
counter
the thing.
At Wegmans,
I said,
right?
What about sandwich jockeying? Is this going to get in the way of that? Because you can stand, right? He says, yeah, I got a note. I'm not going to be working for a week. And you know what? Here's the deal. I did see genuine disappointment. He does love that job.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to take a week off.
It won't
from the
screw
job.
It up, will it?
No, I don't know. Well, as I've talked to some of him and his other...
He's been there for a while, right?
Yeah,
it's not like he did... Who's that intern that left
he's been there for
early
three weeks.
The first... Who's the, he's been there for three weeks.
No, but he's well-regarded.
Look at Taskmaster, Oscar, looking over there. Only, yeah, it is a brief time to... Take the whole week.
If we got a note here from an intern, 3 weeks, and be like, I'm out for a week. Yeah, we'd understand legally because we have to.
Yeah,
but
right,
we'd also
exactly.
be like,
With a doctor's note.
Yes. I still feel the same way because when is the next note going to come? That's how I would feel.
Well, we would
how
have
did he do? Well, you're up earlier and out before he's up, right?
Yeah.
So you don't know.
Right.
How's he? How did, have you gotten any report? Has your wife given you an update on his progress? But
between
at all?
Naps?
Oh no.
God. Okay.
I'll have an update for you guys on Monday. But what's the deal is I've talked to some of his underachieving friends in the sandwich department at Wegmans. There's a real special guy named Ben. Let me put it to you this way. Yeah. He doesn't use his nose for breathing.
Oh my God.
I would say that the average thing that you get when you say, and I've watched Robert in action at the sandwich counter. Hi, nice to see you. What can I help you with? His personal skills are great.
It's an entry level job. They're probably used to this at all times. Mm-hmm. Like people dropping off,
the kids.
Coming on, dropping off,
massive
coming
amount
on.
Of
yeah.
He's going to get lost in the show.
Yeah,
he probably won't get
some of
he's
the
fine.
Other people at the sandwich counter will review you with. So that's he's next level sandwich jockey.
He can communicate
right. And the other good thing is that according to everyone that I've talked to of his coworkers, three or four of them, because you know he's doing some ride sharing and stuff, and I've met them at the store, they say, are you kidding? You can't get fired from Wegmans. It's impossible.
Okay.
Oh my God.
The best of O'Mara.
I don't like to show off ostentatious displays of wealth.
Watches,
no.
You know,
on the show,
a treat.
It's not cool.
Well, a watch is really not jewelry as much as it is it's a helpful thing. You need it.
Treat
it's a tool.
Time.
It is a treat.
Has anyone ever purchased or owned a Casio?
Ooh. Casio has stepped
Let me
up
tell
its
you,
game.
When Seiko just at, won't do.
I have been looking for a night watch. Night watchman. No, a watch so
like to
I
wear
could,
with a suit of armor.
There are not any fluorescent dials that allow me to really look at my watch in the middle of the night, and that's how I like to check my time. But this one, look at that, it's got a light.
For those
that's
of you at home
nice.
That are not watching the video presentation, if you remember the old school Casio calculator watches, Mike has something similar, but it is stainless steel.
Well, yeah, and it's also not digital, it's analog.
Yeah, no, that would be digital at this point.
Well, but it has, Mike, put it up again. Does it not have hands?
It's analog.
That's analog.
Well, it would have a battery, I guess. It's
analog doesn't mean not battery.
Powered, yes.
Digital means a
Unless
digital display.
It's powered by the sun.
Michael?
I don't know.
Little Michael?
His son.
It's called a Casio Illuminator,
Ooh.
But it's hard to read.
Hey, man.
It's hard to read.
It's the Illuminator.
Yeah. And today I will take a link out because I have a little... piano player wrists.
Mm.
And
delicate. Now, will you be able to take the link out yourself, or you have to go to a jeweler for that?
I'm going to be taking the link out myself.
That's tricky stuff.
I have a kit. I have a kit that I bought years ago.
How did you choose that timepiece?
I'm tired of not being able to see what time it is in the middle of the night.
Mm.
And so I was at the Walmart where I waited 40 minutes for someone to come to the fine jewelry counter.
Well, that's odd because that's really what brings the people in.
Yeah, they don't care about that at all. And
did an old German man with a jeweler's loop approach you with a thing in his eye? Hello, what are you looking for today?
One, two, three, four people I asked to get something until the manager came up with a key and handed it to the lady and just turned around. And I said, thank you. And the manager did not look back.
Oh, of course not.
So anyway, it's quality stuff. So anybody ever have a Casio? Anybody
ever
have?
I had the calculator watch.
Yeah,
as Oscar
that was fun,
mentioned.
Right?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
come in handy at the food stand.
No. It's the food stand. You do stuff in your head. There's no time.
Gotcha.
No time for that.
It's a beautiful
timepiece and a piece of corn.
Yeah, I mean,
an ear of corn.
Oh, sorry,
a piece of corn.
A piece of corn. A piece of corn will be a kernel.
Yeah, a kernel.
Well, you would really make money if you broke it up that way.
By the way, speaking of the Colonel, when did the whole chicken and waffles thing? Why when we see suddenly we see chicken and waffles with KFC and then we see chicken and waffles with Dairy Queen or chicken and waffle? Is there a research company that tests things and all of a sudden all these people receive the same data? Big food, big fast food receives the same data at the same time.
I think it's a nation of followers, and I think what you've got, especially with Dairy Queen, they're a follower.
Mm.
If they see another food
who
industry,
are they owned by? Let's see.
Maybe they're not owned by Yum. That's Yum. Pepsi.
They're owned by Alex Kramer.
Oh, that I'm all in.
Oscar, did you see Alex Kramer?
Oh,
did you see a picture of Alex
smoke
Kramer?
Show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, where do you weigh in on chicken and waffles?
I've never had it.
Me
and
neither.
Fried chicken, unfortunately, for me, for my delicate constitution, fried chicken is something that the last time I had it was one of the third tier fried chicken chains when we were on the road.
Churches?
Going up to see my, it might have been Churches.
Yeah.
It might have been Churches, and it was off the road, and I got a horrible bout of gut pain, yeah. And I ended up going to the hospital. That's how bad it was.
I love fried chicken. I love waffles. I see them working well together flavor-wise, but it seems to me horribly inconvenient because chicken is by nature a finger food, and waffles, you got to use a knife and fork. So what do you do? How do you make it work?
You're such a fat guy.
Yeah, the fattest you know.
That is
it doesn't happen by accident.
Well, have you had chicken, fried chicken and waffles?
I never have.
You've never touched it?
No.
Okay. Have you ever had it, Oscar?
Oh, yes. I've probably had it, I would say, 4 or 5 times in my life.
But I can also see the maple syrup flavored profile working well with fried chicken.
Look, it is great, but it is a meal that you have to sit down for.
Well, on Rob's point, are you supposed to eat it with a knife and fork?
I would yes.
All right.
At every point, whether I've had it at a restaurant or I've had it a fast food version.
Was
of
it bone in fried chicken or like chicken tenders on waffles?
I've had both.
Which did you prefer, as if I didn't know?
He didn't want to say chicken tenders.
Yeah.
That's what it is, chicken tenders, which is his favorite.
But it's traditionally, the majority of the time, it is like a chicken breast that's fried.
Okay.
And then you've got the waffles.
But is it bone in?
The majority of the time I've had it,
yeah.
It's not bone in.
You see, then I can almost see it working, but I also know that for fried chicken to taste right, it's got to be bone
in. Why does it have to be bone in?
Because it is less processed. It's going to be truer to the actual chicken.
No, any chicken is better bone in.
Yes.
Any chicken at all. Of course, it's better bone in. It's better than those completely sanitized pieces of rubber that you dip in batter and fry.
Yep.
It's always better than that. I know.
Individually frozen, 4 minutes from freezer to plate. Costco chicken breasts.
It's not, you know, a real like chicken breast or a real chicken thigh with the bone on is tremendously better than. You understand that. You're looking like you're confused.
I feel like to get to that final end product, there's a lot of waste. If you look at a chicken overall.
Not the way I eat it.
If you buy the fillets or the cuts that are there ready to go.
Like the breasts or the tenders or the boneless thighs.
I'm talking about breaded breasts. I used to do this in college. You'd buy breaded breasts that are good to go, ready, that are fresh, and then you throw them on the grill or you throw them on in the oven. For what?
Did you sell a lot of the breaded breasts at the Safeway? Did you have those?
I worked in a Safeway that was that mostly serviced a college area. So there wasn't a lot of meat being moved. So I don't recall. And it was also...
What, was it mostly prepared foods?
No. We sold beer and chips.
Mostly beer and chips.
Yeah, and soda, because we were on campus. It's even a Safeway anymore. And keep in mind, also, this was 30 years ago. Prepared foods wasn't as big of a deal as it is now.
So you
used to get, like, the breaded chicken and stuff like that?
Yes, again, I guess it depends on your household. When my roommates would never eat anything because they were, like, little twig birds. They'd just come out and eat once in a while.
Mike, they were twig birds.
Yeah, they would not eat anything.
Little twig birds.
Yeah, they were skinny and they probably were starved themselves, but they looked hot.
Little twig bird.
I stopped even buying enough food for all of us because they would never eat. And so I would just buy
these
breasts.
They wouldn't even like cereal or stuff like that?
Who knows? They're eating tuna half the time.
What I mean.
Well, let me tell you what my point is. I think it's a racket. I think it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
And I know that there are some.
You would love the flavor profile. You would love.
Well, no, I mean, I have no problem with that. You know what? I would love the flavor profile if I was in a location where you had a restaurant that had been serving it for years that was doing it. But this fast food hijacking, I think,
bone-in is the proper way.
Yeah. Well, bone is the proper way to have chicken in all forms, in my humble opinion. But this whole chicken and waffles thing, I get a feeling of forced, trendy flavor of the month.
You know what? It is not unlike the way now McDonald's, we've mentioned this earlier this week, is forcing bacon on us.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's, you know what?
It's kind of the same deal. Bacon. Big chicken. Bacon. Is trying to sell more chicken.
Last year, Lay's had a chicken and waffles potato chip. That's how prevalent this is now.
Okay. It's becoming, which has the sweet. It's very American. It's got everything.
Yep.
It's got everything that they want. It's got the sweet and the salty and all that. I have never tried chicken and waffles. I would be willing to try or have a taste test with chicken and waffles. But if you say when you've had it, you've liked it. You've liked the syrupy, sweet with
but
the
salty. But you have to be hungry. Yeah. You have to be. It's a big meal.
And it seems to be much more popular than the other thing that they're pressing around here, which is beef stew and pancakes. Not as good as that.
It's just such a mess.
Sloppy. So sloppy.
It's really, really terrible. It's really, really. And you know what? Listen, I don't know who's jumping on the fish sticks and French toast bandwagon, but the fish sticks and French toast.
They got to stop.
This is nonsense.
They're out of control.
It originated in Iceland. I think that's where it came from. Fish sticks and French toast. Have we run out of sweet breakfast foods?
I think so.
Right. The Lucky Charms in chili is not going to go down that well.
Well, wait, as a crust? As a crust? That could be something. To your chili?
You know, we're making jokes here, if we actually spitballed something real, you could probably do that. If you really combine
cornflake crust?
French toast, what would you put it with? A French dip sandwich? No, you can't do it.
You can't. It would be some sort of sausagey something. Sage plays well with that.
Sage?
What sausagey and what?
And French toast. Something like if it was something that was like a sausage-based something.
Oh, like pigs in a blanket. My mom used to make little pancakes, little crepes, and wrap breakfast sausages in them and put a little toothpick and have a hot maple. That was her big go-to. Ooh. I guarantee you, if you had a mom in the 60s, that's what that was like the Betty Homemaker thing that they did. And it was little pigs in a blanket, but this was sausages wrapped in a crepe that you dipped in maple syrup.
So it was like a breakfast thing?
Great.
What?
Was it a breakfast thing or like for a cocktail party?
They were big on brunches.
Okay,
That's when brunch came into the deal. But the whole thing, I don't trust anybody about big fast food or any of that, and I'm suspicious of the chicken and waffles.
Why
and
are you suspicious?
Maybe I was in a bet. Maybe. Why are you suspicious? Spring break. Maybe it's because I was in a bad mood watching the hockey game.
Could be.
But it was like every single 2 minutes I'm watching the volume level that Carl wants me to keep at a certain dull roar. And then you get, and they do the dance with Mrs. Butterworth.
Time of my life.
By the way, which is not maple syrup of any kind.
What? No.
It is high fructose corn syrup. What, do you have that in your, do you have that at your home? Mrs. Butterworth?
No, we grew up with Aunt Jemima.
Aunt Jemima. Yes. We had log cabin.
And
we had artificial syrup.
My mom would call it La Señorita.
The lady?
She would say, can you go get La Señorita?
I'd
have to run into the pantry and grab the little lady.
Because you're a syrup purist now, but you did grow up with the fake stuff?
I grew up with the fake stuff, yeah.
Even in Maine?
Even up there?
Even in Maine. I remember maple syrup came in. The first maple syrup I ever had, I think, was brought to us as a gift, and it was a can. It was a can of it, and I remember tasting it.
Sure wasn't motor oil?
No, it was actually maple syrup from Vermont. Wow. And I remember opening it up and tasting it and going, this tastes weird.
Yeah.
This doesn't taste like sugar.
You know what? It's okay. I still like the cheap stuff. I grew up on the cheap stuff, and that's what I keep in the house now. Even cheaper than Log Cabin, like Piedmont, whatever the cheap brand is.
But also check the calories on pure maple syrup.
I can only imagine.
It's astonishing. It's truly, truly astonishing.
The best of O'Mara.
Woo! That's a good speech. Yeah.
Very good.
Wonderful, wonderful. Sweet. Yes, it is. Yeah, that movie was for me, and I don't want to get sad, but it was a movie when my dad was sick, and I related to my mom taking care of Henry Fonda in that movie, so I watched it again and again, and then I went back maybe a month ago, and I watched it, and to me, it just didn't hold up
that so
well.
It's so stagey, isn't it?
It's you very
can so
stagey
tell
and
that
very,
it came from a play.
You know, you can tell, though, when something speaks to your heartstrings, you can wave away the schmaltz of it, and or maybe it was the time, maybe it was better. I know the you know it was the Oscars loved it, right? So he won an Oscar.
He won an Oscar, and he was too ill to receive it. That's and so Jane received it for him. As
well,
I recall,
it was also
it's not an
during,
oxymoron.
No, it's not. No.
Thank you very much, Oscar. During that time, the relationship between Henry Fonda and Jane Fonda was allegedly very strained. Prior to shooting that movie, she. There are, I have, God knows Jane Fonda's written a lot about her life, so you could probably know the answer to this, but I believe that this movie was kind of not only a passion project for her to, because it was a great play on Broadway and successful, but it was also a passion project that she wanted to do with her dad in the hopes of connecting. And there's a scene there where she's talking to her father about, will you come around more often? Will you see? Because they have a strained relationship in the movie and it's art imitating life. And it's really, if you look at On Golden Pond, that one scene where she's coming up to him and talking to him in the book, because he's a curmudgeon-y, distant, nasty father. You kind of see the real deal, and that's the the most raw moment. And my dad and I had a great relationship, not a great relationship. We had a good relationship. Yeah. It was not warm and fuzzy. We're just not a warm and fuzzy family. But
what did they have some strife in the relationship, the Fondas, because of the incident in Vietnam?
I knew it was a countdown to him using the phrase Hanoi Jane.
I did not say Hanoi Jane.
I know, but you were gearing up to it. I love that that's your reference.
You read ahead.
I did. Sorry about that. I think what
who
it
he
is.
He hangs out with sometimes.
I think
that's all they know.
Henry Fonda is having the reputation.
Where's my Glock? Hanoi Jane. Come
What's your favorite tank?
Duh. But anyway.
But even though he had a reputation of being the all-American good guy on screen, he had a reputation of not being a very good family man. He had problems with his son Peter as well.
Mm. Well, and a lot of those
Peter
stars.
Several marriages,
you know, We know now, by the way, Rob Spiewak, in the news you may not need.
Yes.
I don't know if you've looked at it yet, but, you know, because I know you pay attention to certain names, but there's a one of our favorite actresses is you looked at it.
I actually pulled a tape for the news today.
Oh, good. Okay. So, yeah, Faye Dunaway in news you may not need today.
And she still manages to look stunning.
Yeah, it's exciting. But actors and actresses, I think, you know, it's they can't
probably
get out of their
life.
Own way.
No,
yeah?
The thing about
this interpersonal wise.
Too, you're like that.
On Golden Pond, imagine. I think, also notable for having Katharine Hepburn's last nude scene.
Here's the review of On Golden Pond that I love, and I've used it before. Katharine Hepburn and Henry Fonda get more emotion out of a look than most actors get in a lifetime, which I thought was very, very cool. And it's true. I love even when the head's shaking a little bit. I love
a little
the Katharine.
Bit.
I like the Katharine Hepburn look. Another one that I still love, and it's dated, so dated. Yeah, but. If you want to go back and look at a movie that, you know, people were pretty sensitive to where we were with race in this country, go look at Guess Who's Coming to Dinner with Sidney Poitier and Katharine Hepburn.
Another passion Tracy. Project, because that was Spencer's last movie, and they had to make it actually with an accelerated schedule because he was literally dying. And it's a great performance from him as well. It's a good movie.
Well, and I look at that movie and the themes that are in that movie that are interesting for the time, because it was the 60s and it was about race and it was about intermarriage. And I thought, but it was so it's dated, but it's also interesting that, you know, look how long ago we were thinking about stuff like that. So anyway, I'm digressing, but
that is a lawn chair.
That is a lawn chair that you're sitting on out there. Chelsea, you've got a big old chip on your shoulder. And it's not attractive at all. That man happens to be my husband. All right, cue Jane Fonda, cry, jump into the lake. Anyway, and Rob's favorite scene, because Rob is a sensitive lad, his favorite scene in On Golden Pond is when the 80-year-old Henry Fonda falls off the boat. That's
I like
what
that,
because
that's oh, they couldn't do that on Broadway. That's what they had to bring to the motion picture. Yeah. And also, I like that when he says his wife's name is Ethel Thayer, he says, sounds like I'm lisping.
So those are the two scenes.
Those are my takeaways.
That you hollow shell of a man. Two scenes. We have a brief break here that I want to tell you about. Just a frustration. I don't know if any of you fatties out in the audience like me have ever experienced this, but we got a scale. Don't know the name of it. Don't have it in front of me. Don't know what it is, but you have to tap it with your toe. Then it goes to zero. Then you hop on and you get your weight.
So it's a digital guy.
It's a digital scale. I weigh myself every single day.
And, kilos or pounds?
Pounds. No, kilo. Stone.
Grams.
My parents have a scale at home in kilos.
In kilos? No está kilo.
Don't be shocked.
No, it's okay. They mostly use it for selling cocaine.
Yes.
That's what I said to my dad. I said, Dad, is there another line of business here in the eat kilos? He's like, what do you mean?
I said, they were selling the booger sugar.
I went over to Oscar's house one time to say hi to his mom and dad, and they were having tea up in the kitchen. And his mom asked me if I would run down into the basement and get a bottle of water where they kept their bottle of water. And when I went downstairs, there were like 30 naked women, all with powder on this table, putting it into bags.
The Enterprise room.
Yeah.
And a couple of guys with Uzis. And I got out of there as I could.
That's water, sure. You want next door.
Yeah. Yesterday, I'm on the scale and I tipped the toe with the zero. And I don't know if anybody's ever had this with a mediocre bathroom scale.
Mm-hmm.
I get three different weights.
Oh, yeah.
So the first weight I get is the down like 3 pounds, which between last night and the morning, it's, you know, did I do some exercise? Yes. Did I eat right? Yes. Did I think I'd be down 3 pounds? No. So then I hop on again and it gives me a higher weight.
Mm.
So is it because obviously down 3 pounds is a great thing.
It would be special, but I you know, Rob, you feel it.
Yeah, you
know
do, you
when
do.
You're going
your
to,
wedding ring is
you know,
looser.
Down.
Yeah,
it's, you know.
Your glasses keep falling off.
Yeah.
I don't have one.
You don't need one, Mike.
I don't have one. I've lost two.
Modern day
two.
Mm. Yeah, husband.
Rings or women?
I lose them when I play golf somehow. They I don't know. Anyway, that's another show. Sorry.
That's fine.
But anyway,
so you were in the bathroom.
You're back again.
So I'm in the bathroom, and I step on the scale once, higher. Step on it the third time, higher than my previous day's weight. And now I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Now I'm cussing.
I have an answer. I have the same type of scale.
Okay.
It's probably
with
things. It's connected. Shannon has a smart scale. I've had one forever, but the technology has gotten better. The one thing that hasn't is the plane of the surface and how level the surface is of your home.
Okay.
And so it's supposed to account for that, but it's not absolutely perfect. For example, I got on this morning and I don't do the process where you get the final weight, Mike, because that would shoot to my wife's phone and I don't need her judging me outside of the
weight. So what's the process where you get your final weight?
So for us, you get on. So I tap the scale, get it to zero. Do you do that first?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Uh-huh. You get it to zero. Once you get to zero, you get on. I have four little dots painter's tape, where the scale needs to go every time.
MF and dots, man.
On the floor.
Wow.
That's how I get the most accurate weight every time, because I had the same problem that you had, I would say, 4 or 5 months ago. And I was like, you know what it is? It's the plane of the floor. I'm always shifting it around. And if it gets off a tile or something,
and
off,
I've also read, how close is your scale to the wall?
When Carla weighs herself,
yes,
it's close to the wall. When daddy gelatin hops on, he slides it back from the wall a little bit so that he's not like, you know, so his gut isn't pressing.
Oscar has said my stomach
is that pendulated, but it's not. But anyway,
Oscar said what you need to find is a space away from the wall that is level as possible and also consistency. It should be in the same place every day.
I love the painter's tape idea. Yeah. I'm going to do that. That's awesome.
Super
and
easy.
I won't have to scream.
Line
you know?
It up.
I think Carla said, you know, one of her standard things. Are you just dissatisfied with your life? I said, no, I'm working hard to try to take off a few lbs, and I'd like to have a scale that would validate what I'm doing at night. For Christ's sake.
Carla, make sure you don't ask her the same question, Mike.
Carla, I'm just trying to love myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. We're having a good time up here. This has been a blissful time up here. I'm happy.
Great.
I'm happy.
We've seen you
don't
make many trips
don't
to me.
Don't you think I'm happy? I've been happy since I've been here, right?
It's been weird.
I will say
well,
this.
You know, it's why we have a show tomorrow.
It's been weird.
That's why we have a show tomorrow. You save that question. I'm writing it down on my show prep. I'm going to ask you tomorrow, right out of the gate.
I bet we're in agreement on something.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
Oh, great. Well, that's something nice to sleep on. Boy, do I look forward to that, okay?
No, it's nothing bad. Awesome, it's nothing bad, as a matter of fact.
No, it's nothing bad. Okay, yeah. It's never anything bad. Never anything bad. Hey, we're in the 20s. We're 29 tickets short of a sellout.
That's right.
All right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
29 tickets. There's a chance that we could sell this thing out before I leave for my extraordinarily well-deserved break. I would love to sell
new shows. New shows, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Stay tuned.
We're taking breaks, but no missed shows.
Right. Oh, that's right. We are going to be all taking vacations.
Staggered, like the Junkies.
We will have live shows. Yeah, we decided to do it that way. We're going to do it so we don't have any missed shows for you guys. So there will be live shows all the way through. And I think listeners hopefully will be happy about that.
So just like the Junkies, every time someone leaves, Jason Bishop will sit in with us.
Right. And if you want to keep track, Rob's taking a week. Oscar's taking a week. I'm taking 43 days. 43 days, and I will be coming back.
Not in a row.
Well, I'm older. Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMeraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.